Well, we're glad to have a guest speaker with us this morning. Tell you a little history about Casey. Him and I were at a lunch at Cheers on the North Shore some time ago. And I just met him and didn't know too much about him. And then he was one of the presenters at our ACOP district conference just a month ago, if that. And while he was ministering, something just kind of touched my heart. And Marcel felt the same with his, that we need, and we both said to him, we need to have that brother in. I wonder if he'd come. So you have honored us today out of your busy schedule. You're traveling everywhere. He is a presenter, or not the right word, he is a steward of the Gideon Bible Ministry, that which we support, we're a part of. And he travels extensively just promoting the work of Bibles, period. And he's here today. We're blessed that you've come. And the reason is that it's not just the Bible presentation. That's always worthwhile to see. There's life coming from this brother. And you're going to be ministered to, and God's just going to use him. It won't be his way. God's just going to use him. He's come on assignment today to present the message of Jesus. And so open your heart. Would you welcome Casey as he comes?
Amen.
Bless you. Tell a bit about
Amen. Yourself. I got this one. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor Owen and Pastor Marcel. It's great to be with you guys this morning. Thank you for your support of what God is doing in and through the Gideon's ministry. Many of you might not even know that you guys support this ministry, but you do. And lives are being changed because of it. Amen. So I wanted to share a little bit about that with you, just some of the impact that the ministry of the Gideons is having today. You might need to turn this down a little bit. I tend to speak loud sometimes, so just giving you a warning on that. But, you know, the ministry of the Gideons International, how many of you have heard of the Gideons before? A few of you, awesome. How many of you got a Bible in grade 5? Most of you got a Bible. Anybody still have that Bible? Wow. You know, I love it when I speak at an event or anywhere I'm given the opportunity to share, and people actually will say, I still have my grade 5 Bible. And in it, there's this little page, this little part where I can mark the date that I read the salvation message for the first time. And God got a hold of my heart and I committed my life to Jesus, May 7th, 1963, or whatever it was. And they still have that Gideon's Bible. Well, we don't get into schools the same way that we used to get into schools. Times have changed, but God hasn't changed. But where times has changed, he's given us different methods to get the same message into young people's hands. So God, about 2 years ago, gave us an idea, gave us a vision to put the Bible, the Word of God, into the hands of young people, young Christians, so that they could reach their own friends. And so we launched an initiative called Send Me. The website is sendme.ca. I've got some information at the back. But Send Me is a program where we give students at a high school level and a university level free Gospel of John's to give out to their friends. And we've seen tens of thousands of these Gospel of John's go out over the last year, year and a half to students that are Christians that are saying, yeah, count me in. I want to see my school impacted. I want to see my friends come to know Jesus. I want to plant the seed of the Word of God so that I can see a harvest in and through my life. I believe that God is raising up a generation. Hello, God, are you awake this morning? God is raising up a generation of young people that are sold out to the kingdom cause, that aren't just going to go to church on Sunday or youth group on Tuesday or Friday night and warm the seat in a church, but they want their faith to matter outside of the four walls of the church. And he's awakening a generation that is going to be sold out to the cause of Jesus Christ here on this earth right now. Come on, we can get excited about that. These young people aren't just going to sit back and be pew warmers, bench warmers. They're going to get in the game. And so it's an honor, it's a privilege for us as a ministry to provide them the Word of God. So we do school Bibles. We do hospital Bibles. How many of you ever received a Bible in the hospital? Nobody in here. Well, you have. Awesome. Praise God. At a moment where God can use his word to speak hope. We used to be able to put a Bible at every bedside in the hospital. Not anymore. It's changed.
So about a year and a half ago, our executive director, Peter Marshall, was in a hospital because his father-in-law had a stroke. And he was sitting in that hospital waiting room and forgot to start my timer. He was sitting in that hospital waiting room and the stock ticker was on TV and McLean's magazine was on the counter and Men's Health. And he's like, I don't give a rip about any of that stuff right now. I need to find something to breathe hope into this situation. And he's looking around and he's seeing people outside the waiting room smoking and nervous and their faces are red because they've been crying, whatever their story, whatever their situation is. And God just dropped in his heart Hope Magazine. The Word of God in a magazine format. How many of you have seen this before? Hope Magazine was designed for hospitals, hospice, medical waiting rooms. All across Canada, we've seen over 100,000 of these go out of our warehouse. As a matter of fact, last year during the Russian Olympics, we translated it into Russia. And we sent 100,000 of them over to Russia for the Winter Olympics for distribution. But it's got 50 different psalms in the front half of it, with the Gospel of John in the back half of it, speaking to God being our hope and our refuge and our help in time of need. And so God is using this in a new way to get the Word of God in hospitals. Hotels, how many go into a hotel? And the first thing you do, maybe it's because I'm employed by the Gideons, but one of the first things that I do is I go to check in that hotel drawer, nightstand drawer, for the Word of God. Still a very, very active place for us. Actually, they say that somebody shared that their daughter, somebody stole a Gideon's Bible from a hotel one time. Well, did you know that the number one stolen thing in a hotel is not the bathrobes? It's the Word of God. Yeah, amen. We can celebrate. That is awesome. Because if somebody takes that book, it means they're interested in what's in between the covers. Amen? And every single month, we get testimonies of people that go into hotels. Maybe they're in the middle of an affair. Maybe they're in the middle of committing suicide. And they go into that hotel and something draws them to that nightstand drawer. And they pick up the Word of God and God speaks directly into their circumstance, directly into their life. They end up giving their life to Jesus. It's amazing. How many of you guys have received the Bible in prison? One of these days, somebody's going to put their hand up for that one, I'm telling you. We used to be able to, when an inmate would get checked into a prison in North America, they'd get their garb, their orange suit, and they'd get a copy of a Gideon's Bible. Times have changed. Now we get the Word of God into prisons through the chaplains primarily. But things have changed, so we have been talking to chaplains over the last year or so, asking them what would benefit them, and we just launched Redemption Magazine. It is full of scripture, all scripture, with just some really graphically appealing scriptures. I mean, whatever, it's just graphics, but you know what? If you don't catch somebody's attention in the first like 20 seconds in today's generation, it's harder to reach them. Now, God can do anything he wants, but we just had this vision, this idea to put a clear gospel message in a magazine format through the book of Romans and the Gospel of John in the back half of it, and we've launched these to go into prisons across Canada. God is using this in phenomenal ways. Obviously, all of these resources are being used in so many different ways, not just in the avenues of distribution that I've mentioned. Our members, we've got about 4,000 members. I know Gideon had 300. We need a little bit more, and we're looking for even more. If you want to get excited about sharing your faith through Bible distribution, let me tell you something, friends. Bible distribution is not our primary purpose as a ministry. It's not schools, it's not hotels, it's not hospitals, it's not prisons. Our primary purpose as a ministry is to see people that don't know Jesus introduced to Jesus through Bible distribution, to see people that are far from God get right with God through personal witness, through average, everyday Christians like you and me. I spent 13 years in the car biz before I came to the Gideons. If God can use a used car salesman, he can use you. I don't know why you're all laughing at that. I was a Christian used car salesman. And so the God has been doing an amazing, fresh work in the ministry in the last 2 years. You've got a Gideon in your church. George, where is he? Is he here this morning? He'll be in the second service. And George will come with Jim, a couple of our other Gideons. These guys have been sold out to this ministry for I don't know how long. Before I came, I tried to look up George's membership number to see when, how far back he signed up to be a Gideon. I couldn't even tell. It was so big. So I couldn't even tell. These guys, do you wonder why these guys and gals are sold out to this ministry for so long? It's because there's nothing on earth that compares to seeing a life changed by the power of the gospel and playing a small part in that. And so they stick it out for over 100 years in Canada. The Gideons has been effective. But as our age has been going up, our effectiveness has been going down. And God is breathing new life in the ministry. We're no longer just an association of Christian businessmen. We're an association of Christians, young, old, single, married, of all vocations, interdenominational. People that say, yes, I want my life to count for more than just the world impact. I want it to have an eternal impact. And so if you want to know more about what it looks like to be a member of the Gideons, I'd invite you to come and chat with us at the back and come and join the partnership of what God is doing in and through the Gideons. I want to share with you right now just a video from China. I don't know, if you're like me, probably all you've ever heard about in China is persecution, smuggling Bibles, and the underground church. And all those things are true and they're happening, but there, can I tell you, there is a great awakening happening in the registered church in China, the Three Self Church, the government-approved church. It became legal to be a Christian in China in the early 80s after the Cultural Revolution. And God has been moving in miraculously, specifically in the last 3 or 4 years. And so our ministry is tag team with the ministry that's been active in China called Go With God Ministries. They've been there for the last 18 years. And we've kind of dovetailed in off these relationships that they've built. And we're able to print and distribute the Word of God in China absolutely legally. And so we've got a vision to do 1 million Bibles a year in China. You go, 1 million? Wow, could they even hold that? Man, there's 30, 40, 50% of some churches in China that are 600-700 people that don't even have a Bible in some of these rural villages. They say that in China, there's 30 to 35,000 new Christians every 24 hours. It's absolutely phenomenal. It is the fastest growing church on the planet in a communist government, a communist country, a government that says there is no God. A government that just last week invited us in. My executive director, Peter Marshall, went in and met with 2,000 Communist Party officials, and they're invited in by the government to give them the Word of God. And so I want to take you to China. The last trip that I just went on, it was the fourth trip in the last year that I've been on. Every time we go, we're able to preach the gospel from their pulpits, give an altar call, and ask people to respond. And when their pastor tells them that foreigners are coming to bring a gospel message, to bring the Word of God, they invite their whole neighborhood. And it is, you'll see in this video, it's out in the open. Some churches we'd show up, they'd have a marching band processional to welcome us into the church because they wanted the neighborhood to know. Pastor Marcel just gave you a challenge to invite someone to your Christmas Eve service. Wouldn't it be awesome if this place was so jam-packed that you needed to fill Pastor Owen's office with an overflow room or something? Go ahead and roll that video. Thank you. Can we give Jesus a mighty hand? Come on. It is absolutely phenomenal what he's doing. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It is just the beginning of what God is doing in this end time harvest. Do you believe that there's going to be an end time harvest? Why do I share this with you? I'm going to get to that in a second, but before I do, you guys as a church joined on with us in our global church partnership that helps provide the word of God to countries around the world where they could never afford a Bible. So in reciprocation of that partnership, we've provided you guys with some light magazines. And we've got light magazines and Gospel of John's at the back. I'm going to tell you what to do with those at the end of this service. But if you feel led to at all join the Bible Partner Plan, I've got some forms at the back. It's $30 a month, and every month you'll provide 10 people with the Word of God somewhere in the world. And as a thank you today, if you sign up for that today, we've got some chronological leather life application study Bibles that we want to give you as a thank you. It's a big, hefty, chronological Bible. It's a pretty awesome way of reading the Bible. It's just a thank you from us to you. But I want to invite you, if you've got an opportunity to do that today, because it will make an eternal impact. The Word of God is the greatest investment that you can make. But you know, as I've gone to China and seeing this great hunger, it's absolutely phenomenal. Has anybody ever been there? Have you been there active in the church? Small group. Okay, well, here's the thing. Every time I go to China, I come back from those trips, and people ask me, what was it like to see such hunger? What was it like to see people so desperate for Jesus? Because I think that we don't see that here. And oftentimes what people are referring to when they ask me that is like, what was it like to see people that don't know Jesus hungry for Jesus? But that's not the case. It's that the church is hungry for Jesus. The church is passionate and thirsting for more of Jesus. So much so that when the pastor asks them to pray at the beginning of the service, they begin to weep. They pray so intensely and intently, crying out for God to move in their land, crying out for God to save their family and their friends, thanking God that he sent some people from Canada to bring them the Word of God. And they're weeping and crying, and the pastor has to stop the prayer with a song. Otherwise, they would just keep praying the whole time. They're so hungry, they're so desperate in the church that the believers believe what they say they believe. And they go out into the world and they share the good news. When I would ask people, how is it that you came to church today? How is it that you got saved? There were miracle stories, absolutely. But most of the time it was just my neighbor asked me to come. My neighbor asked me to come and I saw something different in them. My neighbor shared the gospel. My teacher in school shared the gospel with me one day after school. This last trip, God spoke to me. He said, it would be the same thing, Casey, in Canada. But my church is silent. You might have heard it said before. Doesn't even matter who said it. Preach the gospel, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. I am so sorry. No, I'm not. I make no apologies. That is not what I see in here. These guys declared the gospel. It is a message of proclamation. Yes, you need to love the gospel and live the gospel, but you need to preach the gospel. You need to declare the gospel, and your life needs to back up what you say. But it is a message of proclamation. It's a message that must be told. It's a message that this world is hungry to hear. I don't know where we've bought into this lie in Canada that people don't want to hear about Jesus. They were created to hear about Jesus. Eternity is written on their hearts, and they're crying out and they're saying there's got to be more than this. And you and I have the answer. And if the only reason why God would have saved you and me was so that we could have a ticket to heaven, then while you got baptized in water, The pastor might have well just held you down until the bubbles stopped coming up. It's true. But there's a purpose that God has left here on earth for his bride, for his church. To be salt, to be light, to proclaim the gospel, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead resides inside of you. Somebody's got to get excited about that. And it's time, church, that we started to live like it. It's time, church, that we really started to believe it, that we are who Christ says we are, that we're new creations in Christ Jesus, yes. But if you read that passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians, he goes on to say that you are ambassadors for Christ, bringing to the world the ministry of reconciliation. See, ministry isn't something that you just do or that somebody else does. Ministry happens because Jesus has ministered to you and he wants to minister through you. So wherever you are, ministry should happen. When your life is impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will impact your family. The gospel through you will impact your school. The gospel through you will impact your city. The gospel through you will impact your nation. And friends, there's still room in the church. Look around. If you've got your Bible with you, I want you to open it to John 4. This is actually the same little passage that I shared at the pastor's conference, but God has been showing me something new. I love the Word of God. It is so deep. Man, it is so deep that we can read it over and over and over again, and it will transform our minds. I heard it said on that video, and I just got to say this. I heard it said on that video, you can substitute, or what did he say? You can substitute your devotion life with these resources. I love books, I love preaching, I love listening to teaching, but don't ever substitute this with anything else. Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher and he wants to speak to you now, today, right now. Trust me, in ministry, hey guys, it's easy to get caught up with all the doing. So busy doing stuff. And God is calling us to that secret place where we seek his face, where we get this thing not just up here, but in here, this relationship, the love of God. Because going back to 2 Corinthians, Paul says it's the love of God that compels us. It's not duty. It's not religious obligation. It's not guilt. It's not shame. Trust me, I am not here today to make you feel bad about anything that you are or aren't doing. I want you to start being more of who Jesus has called you to be. I want to see the church start being more of who Jesus has called her to be. John 4, verse 27, if you know this story, it's the story of the Samaritan woman just before, and Jesus in John 4 says he has to go through Samaria, and he's tired, so he sits down at this well, and he sits down, and there's this woman that comes, and she's going to get water, and she comes in the middle of the day, which speaks a lot of different things. It says that she was probably ashamed to be there in the morning with the other women, and we find out, actually, Jesus tells her story, if you know the story, and Jesus is sitting there with her, and he asks her for a cup of water, and she says, he says to her that if you knew who sat with you, if you know the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she goes on, they have this gospel chat, they have this gospel conversation, and she's kind of debating, but you got to understand that what she experienced from Jesus in that moment was the grace of God, because she said to him, how is it you, a Jew, talk to me, a Samaritan? The Jews and the Samaritans didn't mix. They actually, Jews viewed Samaritans as less than human. They would call them dogs. If you wanted to insult somebody, you'd call them a Samaritan. They were enemies. They didn't mix at all. And Jesus comes and he has this conversation with this Samaritan woman. Jews and men and women wouldn't talk that often. So she experienced grace there. So then he goes on and he tells her, he says, listen, go and call your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you say right. You've had five husbands. The one you're with is not your husband either. She experiences the grace of God again because she's like, not just a Jew, but a prophet is speaking to me. And they go on and they have this conversation a little bit deeper, a little bit further. And she says, I know when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says, I who speaks to you am him. Not just a Jew. Not just a prophet, but the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And her mind is blown. Her mind is blown so much so that she drops her watering pot and she runs back to the city of Samaria. And this is where I want to pick it up. Verse 27 says, at this point, his disciples came. The disciples came from the city of Sychar where they were just getting lunch. The city where she was from. His disciples went to get lunch, to go and get Jesus some food. They thought they were doing what Jesus asked them to do, sent them to do. And they come back from that, and they see her speaking, Jesus speaking to this woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Verse 28, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city. And she said in verse 29, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. The very things that shamed her, she's now testifying and pointing to the Christ. That's phenomenal, man. She says, come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? So they, those men that she told that she declared that to. She didn't just come back with a changed life and go, hopefully they see something different and ask me what is the difference in my life. She came back, she was so blown by the grace and the love of Jesus that she had to tell somebody. And they came to him. And in the meantime, I love Bible verses like that. In the meantime, Verse 31, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore his disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You know what? Jesus was laser focused on his purpose. He knew exactly why he was on this planet. And he said, the very thing, the food, the thing that gives me sustenance and energy and life is to do what God sent me to do and to finish his work. Do you know how many Christians walk around purposeless? Or jumping, bouncing from purpose to purpose, going from conference to conference, hoping that they can find the will of God for their lives? Do you know what the will of God is for your life? That you love him and love others. Put him first, love him, seek him, get to know his love for you, get to know who he says you are, and go and be that person. And the response will be you will love others. Jesus was laser focused. He says, I am doing the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And then he says something a little bit weird in my mind. Because they weren't talking about farming. They weren't talking about harvesting. He says this in verse 35. Do you not say that there are 4 months? There's still 4 months. And then come the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest. And I believe that as he said this, that city of Samaria was coming over the crest of the hill, and Jesus was literally telling them, lift up your eyes and look and see the harvest that's all around you. What is the difference in China, Africa, India? They see the harvest and the purpose of the church. They see the harvest that is all around them. And when they're rubbing shoulders with people, they are constantly listening for God to say, who are you drawing to yourself, God? Who around me are you already working in their hearts? Who do you want me to pray for? Who do you want me to share your love with? Who do you want me to share your gospel with? I believe that today God wants to give us fresh eyes to see the harvest that is all around us. See, here's the thing, guys. The disciples, the ones who hung out with Jesus, the ones who were called by Jesus, the ones who had fellowship and relationship and friendship with Christ, they were rubbing shoulders with these people in this city, and they didn't even see that these people were in need of the Savior. But not only that, and this is what God has been showing me. I just want to stop here and hit this up for a second, because I believe this is what is that they didn't see who they were. Listen to this. Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But they didn't see themselves as fisher of men. And many of you don't see yourselves as fishers of men. You think it's up to the pastor. You think it's up to the evangelist. But if you look in Ephesians, when he talks about the positions of leadership in the church, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, it says that their gifting, their calling is all for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And you are his hands and feet. You are his voice to a lost and broken generation. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, you know what? On the way here, I was praying about this, and God spoke to me. He said, there are people in this church that feel underqualified. They feel like their past sin disqualifies them from being used like this. Apparently not. This woman had 5 or 6 different guys that she was with. That's all that we read about, but there was probably more stuff. And your past sin is exactly what qualifies you. Your future sin is what qualifies you for the grace of God. Because it's not meant to. You know what I hear sometimes when I preach a message like this? Well, I'm just not called to evangelism. All evangelism is recognizing that God loves people. And he wants to use people to reach people. He wants to use people who have encountered his love to share his love with people who don't yet know his love. And your past sin, your future sin, none of it disqualifies you, because it's not about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, in Acts, when Jesus ascended to heaven, listen to what he says, and you guys have heard this before, but this is what he says. He says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Well, it's just not natural for me to offer prayer. It's just not natural for me to talk to a stranger about Jesus. It's just not natural for me to go and invite somebody to church and give them a Light magazine. It's just not natural. You bet it's not. It's gosh darn supernatural. It's not meant to be natural. It's meant to be supernatural. It's meant to be the power of the Holy Spirit in you going, pew, the words coming out of you, and you didn't even know where they came from. And that word that God speaks through you, that prayer that God prays through you, that gift that God gives you to give out of his word impacts and connects with people's spirits, not their natural. The natural is an enemy of God. It's supernatural. You guys okay? You know what? I'm not mad. Somebody told me I need to smile more. You got to understand something. I was lost. My life was in a pit. And I wasn't even looking for him. And he came running after me. And he came running after every one of you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. I'm going to close with this, and I'd love it if we could all just stand to our feet. Love it if the worship team could come back, or somebody could come back on the keys. This is not meant to be heavy. This is meant to be a joy. You know what saddens me? Stats say that less than 2% of Christians actively share their faith in North America. And yes, it saddens me that there are people that are going to end up in hell. That saddens me. But it also saddens me and grieves, and I believe grieves the heart of God, because his people don't know who they are. They don't know how good this thing is that we got called the gospel, the good news. And I believe that if we press into Jesus, into his love, into his word, into that secret place where we can seek him, the natural outflow will be, I got to tell somebody. Man, this world is exhausted. It struggles and works and strives for identity, for purpose, for meaning, for hope, for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And it's only found in Christ. And sometimes we do the same thing in church. Before we look to business or finances or money or drugs or alcohol or sex or whatever it was to fulfill these things. And then we come to church and we look to all the works of the church, the ministry. So we serve and we do shoe boxes and we go to prayer and we do all these things. And Jesus is like, none of those things make you more acceptable to me. The only reason why you're acceptable to me is because of the blood of Jesus. I love you just as you are. You don't need to do any of those things to be accepted. You need to do them from a place of acceptance. Romans 10 verse 13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're in this place today, and you don't have absolute certainty that if you died today, you would go to heaven, I'm going to invite you to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus today. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, and you believe in your heart, that you will be saved. You can have absolute assurance by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call in on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I'm not a preacher, Casey. Yes, you are. A preacher is just one who declares. You're not a Casey. Thank God for that. You're a you. And you've got the same power that I've got in me living in you. And God is calling you and sending you out to declare that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The gospel, listen to me, friends. Because so often we make up in our mind who is meant to be saved and who's not. Oh man, that guy would make a good Christian. Your things like that, right? Because they're serving in whatever they're serving in or whatever they're doing. Or man, oh, this guy or that person. No, no, no. The gospel, listen. The gospel is very inclusive. It's exclusive in the fact that there's only one way to be right with God. It's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be forgiven. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way to have peace with God. It's very exclusive, but it's also very inclusive in that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that is the Jew, or that is doesn't believe in Jesus, that is the Muslim that only believes he's a prophet, that is the atheist who doesn't believe he is at all. It's the lesbian, it's the homosexual, it's the drug addict, it's the prostitute, it's the narcissist that is so full of himself and building up his kingdom, yet when he lays his head on his pillow at night, he's empty. Whoever would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, repent of their sin, put their faith and their trust in Jesus, will be saved. And how shall they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we want to put the word of God in your hand today when you leave. We've got some 300 Gospel of Johns at the back. We've got 100 light magazines at the back. And I want to send you out today in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of His grace. Take one or two of these. Grab one of those Christmas Eve inserts. Grab one of those lists of the concerts or events that are having. Put it inside. And in your next week or two, just simply say, God, I believe that You've called me. I believe that You can use me, not because of me, but in spite of me. Show me who You want me to give this to and invite to church. So, Father God, I just ask You right now. I am so hungry for You to move in Canada, God. I look around and I see the world so broken, so lost, so hopeless. And my heart grieves, my heart burns. But I look around and I see the church, and we come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We get fed Your word. We get fed. We encounter Your spirit. But when we leave here, we move on to the busyness of life. And I repent, Lord. I say, God, would You forgive us and change us and cause a desperation to rise up in our hearts, first for You and then for the lost. A desperation to be in Your presence, to be in Your power, to be in Your love, God, to understand Your grace, to understand what You've called us to be, to give us eyes to see who we are in You. And then from that place to bring Your truth and Your love to others. I pray, God, that if there's anybody in this place that doesn't know You, every eye closed in this place right now. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that, behold, He stands at the door and knocks. And if you would open the door and let Him in by putting your faith and your trust in Jesus, not by going to church, not by giving in the offering basket, not by pray, just by simply confessing that Jesus is Lord. I want you to put your hand up right now, right now. If you don't know Jesus, God bless you. If you're not absolutely certain that you're going to go to heaven when you die, I want you to put your hand up right now. Jesus sees you. Come on. Why don't we all just pray this prayer right now for the fact of those that are in this place that want to commit their lives to Jesus. Pray this with me in support of them right now. Jesus, I come to You today. I recognize that You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You died on the cross for my sin. You rose again on the third day so that I could be forgiven and have a clean slate and have peace with You. Right now, I turn from my sin and I put my trust in You. Forgive me, wash me. I give You my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Listen, friends, I know that we're kind of going over time. So if you got to go, just go ahead and go. Do we got time to pray for some people, Pastor Owen? Listen, if God is speaking to your heart and you're like, yes, I want that. I want this life to count for more than meaningless things that in the end is going to burn. I want to make a difference into eternity. I want to invite you to come up to the altar right now. Maybe you've been caught up and distracted in building your business and you haven't seen those clients as people that are lost without Him. Maybe you've been too busy doing your own thing that you forgot to pray for your family that is far from Jesus. I want to invite you to come right now. I believe that God is going to give you fresh eyes. I believe He's going to light a fire in your heart for Him and for the lost. So come on, don't be shy. Let's go. Let's respond to Jesus right now. Go ahead, let's sing whatever you guys are going to sing. We're going to spend a couple minutes. I'm just going to release you to go. Grab one of these on your way out. Give it to somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Invite them to church. Share the gospel with them in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, baptize her afresh, Jesus, with Your fire, with Your passion. You are a consuming fire. Come on, don't just stand there, guys. Press into Jesus. It's not about me. It's about Him. Can you turn this thing off?